Our study this morning will be, we're going to do a little bit different than what we maybe do often. And I would call this lesson the characteristics of a member of the Church of the One Body. Characteristics of a member of the One Body. There are two reoccurring questions with regard to the Church of the One Body that Paul speaks about after what Tim just read there in Acts 28. He spent a couple of years after that when the Jews departed, and there at one point then he was given a new revelation with regard to God's purposes for the ages, and it had to do with this heavenly part of God's plan. Whereas up to that point, it was primarily all about the kingdom and the kingdom that was to come and the Messiah. But after those Jews departed there in the book of Acts, the end of the Acts period, chronologically, Paul was then given a revelation about this heavenly calling and the members of that calling called the Church of the One Body. There are two reoccurring questions with regard to this. Number one, are all Christians today a member of the Church of the One Body? It's a big question. The second question, are the members of the One Body chosen by God? Or is there some other criteria to be part of that group called the Church of the One Body? Some think so, that it's a special group and God chose them and that's it. There are several reasons as to why this is not true. Most convincing is if God chose them, it renders the race and the prize then that Paul speaks about so often after this period that Tim read, the prize and the race as described by Paul in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy. Today we are interested more in question one. Are all Christians a member of the One Body? Even if they don't know it. Now, it's easy to make the sweeping assertion that at the present time, every believer is included, but it is disconcerting to give chapter and verse to that. I would point to the words of Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, it says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. I think this is a message not only for the dispersion as Peter was speaking, but it would be true to the members of the Church of the One Body and this revelation that was given to Paul. Can you give an answer for your understanding of that? And what's entailed in it as far as Scripture is concerned. It therefore seems imperative that some self-examination be undertaken if we are to give reason for the hope that is within us and for this body that Paul speaks so much of there in the Scripture. There's obviously something that Paul was trying to achieve and attain. Something had drastically changed in God, what God revealed to him, because up until that time, it had never been revealed. Anything about heavenly calling, it had all to do with this earthly kingdom that was to come and is still yet to be. Paul makes reference to it in Philippians chapter 3. He says, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means, he says, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. He had already attained resurrection because of belief and the kingdom and so forth that he taught. Not as though I had already attained or were already made perfect by the blood of Christ. He knew and understood that. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so he, later in the next verse or so, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. A prize is something that is earned. It's not necessarily a prize or a reward is something that is earned. Somebody wins the race. Somebody does something to attain something further. Salvation, of course, prior up until that time, was a gift. Salvation was a gift free to all that believe. So what I've done here, I passed out to you, I've prepared a worksheet for consideration, trying to consider what is the answer to this question. And it's made in the form of a classified ad or a wanted poster. This is what Paul was teaching and preaching about this church of the one body in Christ. And I'm wondering, what are the desirable traits that you would find in one of the members of this one body? Paul gives us a lot of information, I think, with regard to that. What are the qualifications and characteristics of a member of the church of the one body? So if you'll notice there, first in line, you'll see there that we've listed the name. Name is identifies a matter, is a matter of everyday confirmation today. Usually three things when you fill out a form. You want your name, your address, and your gender. But I've added here a lot of other distinguishing features with regard to a member of the Church of the One Body. And I'm going to show you verse by verse what Paul teaches with regard to these. We are speaking of something here that is not on earth, but it's a heavenly calling. First scripture I want to look at is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to be going back and forth a lot here between Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians as we seek these characteristics of the church, a member of the church of the one body in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, that it would include, obviously, a member of the church of the one body, someone that is faithful in Christ Jesus. That would be true, of course, for the kingdom, someone that would be faithful in Christ Jesus. So the name here I would put on this chart under name would be faithful. What would be the address? Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and you know that it says that we have, as a result of his death and resurrection, we are reckoned as having been dead and reckoned as been raised with him. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So I think the address that I would put down for a member of the one body is where Christ sitteth in the heavens. What would be the age? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The interesting thing there is that children, I think, gives us an idea with regard to age. The word there, children, is the Greek word nephosis, N-E-P-I-O-S, and it's not a child that can run around and speak and so forth. It's not an embryo either. But it's indicative of a child that is so small and young that he can't really converse, can't speak. And that's what he's pointing to here with regards to age. A member of the one body in Christ is full-grown adult in the knowledge of the Scripture and able to do, as Peter said, to give an answer for the hope that is in you. In other words, you have spent some time in school, in study of the Word, understanding what God's plan is, and able to articulate something about that. You have grown in the Spirit, because we're talking about spiritual things here. You have grown in the Spirit to where you can communicate part of God's purpose and plan. So I would list there, in the age, that you are a full adult and not a child with regard to spiritual things. The next line you see there is sex or gender. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Interesting thing with regard to that. The word man there is anthropos in the Greek. anthropos, A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S, anthropos, which is more of a human and not, in the Greek, man, would be aner. So the word there is not a male, it is a human being. So the sex or the gender would be no difference. It's male and female. Why? We're talking, first of all, spiritual things. This is the new man in Christ. Not the new aner man, not the new male, the new being, the new person in Christ. So there's really no difference in the members of the church, of the one body of Christ. Occupation. What would be the occupation? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. The occupation, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a tall charge. I like to see that here in the forum, that we have a bond of peace regardless of some of our differences. We all see Christ as the hope of the members of the one body in Him. So the citizenship would be, the occupation would be a keeper of the unity of the Spirit. The citizenship would be in heavenly places. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk and we speak of heavenly things as taught by Paul. It's not to disregard everything with the Old Testament and the Gospels and all of the ministry of the 12. We're not discounting that. That's something that we have built on as a result of the understanding of that. We now can better comprehend what Paul teaches. And so our conversation, our understanding, and our back and forth is heavenly. That leads to this next line. What would be the relation to Israel? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, if you don't happen to have a pencil, I've got a completed list here of all the scriptures at the end if you want one. Relation to Israel, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Gentiles had no part in God's purpose and plan for the kingdom, but only through Israel. Otherwise, they were considered aliens. And so that's the relationship that we have as members of the one body. We still are aliens to the kingdom that is yet to come here on earth. line number, the next line there is rank. What would be the rank of a member of the one body? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. It's across the page from where we are. The rank, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There seems to be a purpose for the church of the one body that has something to do with the principalities and powers that are there in the heavenlies that have been, I call them insurrection. Insurrect angels, whatever those principalities and powers are, the church of the one body is ranked above even them and has some purpose with regard to God's plan in that order as far as rank is concerned. The next one is knowing hangouts. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we would be hanging out there in the heavenly. The expectations is the next line. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. What are the expectations of a member of the one body? Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's our expectation, to be made manifest at resurrection with Christ in glory. Now, you got to remember there's more than one resurrection. There's another resurrection when Christ comes back. Here it's when Christ appears. There's the resurrection when Christ comes back. And that has to do, of course, with the kingdom. But here Paul's teaching something else. He's teaching something that he's trying to attain to, that he's trying to understand and comprehend and be a part of. And that's this heavenly calling in Christ that has to do with a prize and a calling and a reward. That would be part of the expectations of a member of the one body. Denomination. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. If you recall, baptism, John baptized with water, and yet he preached, there is one coming greater than I that will baptize you, what? With water. And in the Spirit. So there was two baptisms. First with water, then water and water in the Spirit. And then Paul comes along and it's back again to the Spirit only. Baptized, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's baptism of the Holy Spirit with Christ. So we are buried with him in baptism. So the denomination here would be a baptized believer, but baptized only in the Spirit as a result of our death and burial with him, baptized in his death and burial. Next, you see there the nature. What would be the nature of a member of the one body in Christ? Turn over to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 31. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That would be the attitude that would be expected of a member of the one body in Christ. Party habits. What would be the party habits? Well, I skipped a couple here. Let's go back here to known acquaintances. Who would be your friends? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I don't think I need to describe what's being described here as the unfruitful works of darkness. It's everywhere in our culture and in our society. What would be the attitude? Look at verse 19 of that fifth chapter. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Party habits, verse 18 of that chapter. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It doesn't say don't drink wine. It says be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That would be a member of the characteristic of a member of the one body. Sober, you can add in that line. He would be sober. Demeanor. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful. Love. What would be interest of a member of the one body in Christ? Look at Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2. Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that doesn't mean that you can't like golf and so on. He's speaking about spiritual things here. It doesn't mean, Max, you can't go to an auto show and have interest in it. Set your affections on things above with regard to what is being taught by Paul in the scripture. And that is forgetting those things which are behind, those things that were in the Old Testament, that the kingdom, that were taught. They're all truth, but they're truth out of place if you try to put them to place here today. And it's still truth. But your interest should be in things above with regard to what Paul teaches about the church of the one body. Conversation. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You cannot be effective for the cause of Christ. You cannot communicate the kingdom of the one body in Christ. You cannot communicate this heavenly calling if you're constantly have corruption and communication coming out of your mouth. So the conversation would be nothing corrupt. Beliefs. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What he's referring to there is legalism. Praying five times a day, facing to the east. Communion. Demanding to tithe. Fish on Friday. Confession. Running the prayer beads every day. Oh, you better attend church on Wednesday and Sunday. Beliefs. Non-legalistic. All of those things that I mentioned are legalism. And you know what? It started with the Pharisees way back then. They began to put these things into place. And even worse, in recent times, the Catholic Church and many others. Non-legalism, grace, God's grace is for us today. Thank goodness. I can't be good enough to follow and do all of these things that the Pharisees and man has put into place with regard to Christianity. It's not there. It's a free gift. And Paul is talking about something that is even an extension of that, as the purpose of God's plan for the ages has changed after what Tim read to begin with. Marital status. Ephesians chapter 5. In that section on conversation, I might add that would include gossip, lewd jokes, prejudices, statements, fun at other people's expense. Paul covers all of these things. And if you'll notice, it's all in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy. Something changed after that time chronologically that Tim read there in Acts. Marital status, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverenced her husband. It's a relationship that is an indication of the bond that exists between Christ and believers today, and in particular, we're speaking about members of the one body in Christ. You'll see there in the chart, the wanted chart for members of the one body, physical requirements. There's listed the eyes. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And that hope has to do not only with the earth. Don't forget, there's going to be, God's plan includes two things, a new heaven and a new earth. So here he's saying, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling with regard to this heavenly thing that's been introduced in this book of Ephesians and followed up by Colossians and 1 and 2 Timothy and Philippians, etc. Next, head. What would you have there? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14. We read this already, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that is Satan promoting the lie. And unfortunately, there's so much doctrine today that includes the lie. And it has to do with all of those things that I mentioned with regard to prayer beads and fish on Friday and all of these things that are pushed that you got to do. Go to church, give your money. Salvation is by grace. It's free. So you need to be full grown in Christ and understand this free salvation. You cannot be good enough to earn your way to heaven. He died because we're all sinful men. So be full grown and knowing in Christ what's going on. The mind is important. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. We already looked at that verse. There's another one back in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How are you renewed in the spirit of your mind? It's by understanding the very things that we're talking about. And that is the fact that there is a twofold purpose to God's plan. And it only comes by an understanding of this scripture, by spending some time studying to show yourself approved unto him. The last thing that I have listed there is circumcision. I would list what we find in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. It's not got anything to do with the Old Testament circumcision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. you've heard me say, my flesh, it deserves to be chopped in half. But he loved me. He loves you. He has forgiven us. He's forgiven you. Last there you see the reference. What would be the reference? What references could you get? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's your reference. You're sealed as a result of the finished work of Christ. Finally, let me point to 2 Timothy 2:25. 2 Timothy 2:25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of Satan, who are taken captive by him at his will. A member of the one body in Christ will be verbal. You know, I always said when I was in high school, I was a Secret Service Christian. Only the Lord and myself knew that I was a Christian. It was only later on that I was able to become more verbal. Why would that be true? It's because if you don't know anything about Christianity, you can't speak of it. But as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of him, as you study to show yourself approved, then you're better able to communicate what a Christian, and particularly a member of the one body, should be. Now, I know we covered an awful lot there, and I do have some sheets with those scriptures already printed out. If any of you want one, you may come up and I'll provide it for you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your love towards us. We're grateful that we have here information as to how we are to walk worthy of the calling wherein we find ourselves with regard to this Church of the One Body. Pray that each one here may continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of that information provided for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.